It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday the 17th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Drones have been airborne for a while, but now there are rules, suggested rules at least, from the Federal Aviation Administration. The regulations are being hailed by some as having an appropriately light touch. Companies like Amazon, however, aren't sure ambitious ideas about drone delivery services have been cleared for takeoff. Our friend Lindsay Turrentine at CNET.
These developments, while they're not great for, say, Amazon that wants completely autonomous delivery, they're pretty good for, say, Hollywood or companies who really just have needed some sort of framework to go out there and start to do their work.
The FAA is taking public comment over the next 60 days. It's unclear, though, when the regulations will go into effect. Raise your hand if you've bought something on Etsy. At the very least, you've probably heard of the online marketplace for crafty makers and artists. Etsy might be getting ready for an initial public offering. In the meantime, its business model has spread beyond t-shirts, hats, and jewelry. As Grace Hood reports, one company is attracting big money to the online world of crafting education.
Crafters have traditionally turned to YouTube for free videos, like this one on how to make quilts on a regular-sized sewing machine.
And I call this the squish-squish-flatten method. Which sounds, maybe, I don't know, really technical, but it's really not.
Lately, a growing number of crafters are willing to pay to learn new skills, and they're turning to companies like Creative Bug or the Denver-based company Craftsy.
I'm going to show you five different methods for handling a large quilt, in breaking it into different pieces or doing the whole thing.
Compared to the free YouTube video, this Craftsy tutorial looks pretty slick. Students pay $35 for 8 lessons. Craftsy founder and CEO John Levesay says this course has been a blockbuster.
It's a skill that scares people because they spend a lot of time making this beautiful quilt, and then when they go to sew it together, people are afraid they're going to wreck it.
Craftsy seeks out the best instructors across 16 categories like cooking and woodworking. What makes the classes, Levesay explains, are the social features Craftsy has built into the courses.
While we wanted to capture the anytime, anywhere nature of online learning, we also wanted people to be able to ask their instructor a question, ask fellow students questions, and to interact with others.
And it's paying off. In 2014, the company nearly doubled its revenue, bringing in $43 million. In November, the company raised more than $50 million in venture capital. IBIS World industry analyst Zeeshan Heder says the appeal for investors is the company's large potential customer base.
For example, you know, there are more than 21 million plus quilters that spend anywhere around $4 billion annually on quilting.
Right now, Craftsy has just 6 million registered users, and there's room for growth. Many millennials are interested in do-it-yourself fashion, which Craftsy's also tapped into. On the company's website, you can learn how to make your own jeans, skirts, shirts, even your very own undergarments. I'm Grace Hood for Marketplace.
This week, we're going to look at a set of growing tensions and parallels that exist in two parts of California, Hollywood and Silicon Valley. The first is home to an industry that developed around the movie screen over a century ago. The second has its genesis in computing and garages in Palo Alto. We're calling our series From the Hills to the Valley. Today, someone who is straddling the entertainment industries in both places. Issa Rae is creator of the popular YouTube series The Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl. She's got a book and is working on a new pilot for HBO. Issa, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Do you feel like your success on YouTube led directly to the opportunity with HBO?
No doubt. HBO wouldn't have heard of me or even seen any of my stuff had it not been for YouTube and, you know, my ability to just create and put it out there.
I read in an interview that you did with New York Magazine where you said there's no way a show like Awkward Black Girl could have happened except on YouTube. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. I think networks, network executives, they have an idea about what they think audiences want. And my idea for what, one, I wanted to see and, what, two, what I thought my potential audience wanted to see were completely different.
Uh-huh.
And I was always told just that, that there wasn't an audience, especially when it came to content of color or even trying to have multicultural leads. Like, I wanted to create a show about black people in college. Like, they were saying that was far left, that was too segmented. And so by the time I just had the idea for Awkward Black Girl, I was like, if they didn't want to see a show that I think is as mainstream as Black people in college, then they will never go for something like Awkward Black Girl. They will never believe that they exist even.
Right.
And so it was just a natural inclination for me to just put it directly online for an audience that I knew would appreciate it, an audience that I'd built myself.
And that seems like a really big difference between this world of create your own media, Silicon Valley, and the world of Hollywood. And you, at this point, can be in both of those worlds.
You can. I think that now networks are less resistant, I will say, to that transition.
Do you think that Netflix, Amazon, companies like that making television is good for creators or not?
I do, because it's based off of not a crazy, outdated, inefficient pilot system. It's based off of, hey, we respect what you do. We've seen what you've done in the past on our channel, and we want to invest in you to create something that we think our audience will grow to like.
Do you think that this leads to more diverse programming generally?
I'm definitely optimistic. I think that because even in Amazon or Netflix, because those are so close to just social media in general, there's just a natural inclination to just tweet and talk about the show on social media. And social media happens to be, the most vocal people happen to be very, very diverse.
Do you think you can succeed in Hollywood without Silicon Valley now, or vice versa?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways I get what you're saying. Like, I was just talking to an actress who but whose manager demanded that she have social media accounts, because even being able to get an audition is based off of how many social media followers you have.
Wow.
Who's following you.
Do you feel that pressure too?
No, because I would rather just be niche and create content that people like, as opposed to focusing on my numbers. And, you know, they're going to come up from time to time, but I don't really care. I don't know if that's fair. I don't even know if that's fair to say, if I would have said that 5 years ago, but who knows?
But is there anything that you've learned about your audience as it's developed and as you've developed as a creator that has surprised you?
The first one should seem simple enough, but just to be consistent, I feel like had I been consistently releasing content on a weekly basis, I would have a much bigger following, because that really matters in the online world. Just people having content at their fingertips, people will forget about you in an instant if you're not on their radar constantly. And that's kind of discouraging, because sometimes I'm not always creatively inspired. I don't want to just make content to make it.
Mm.
And the second thing that I've learned is that, again, audiences are just really fickle. There's no formula online. It just really isn't, outside of being consistent.
I think that's heartening.
Is it? Is it?
I think so. Issa Rae created and stars in Awkward Black Girl. It's an award-winning web series on YouTube that premiered back in February 2011. She's also got a new book, The Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl. Issa Rae, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.